Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Rackin' Up Dollar, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Welcome to Dollar here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget you can watch the show on YouTube as well, youtube.com, and search ESPN Chicago. Tyler Rocky and Shay Norling with you in for Bleck and Abdallah. They were in for Greeny earlier tonight. We're taking all your Bears calls, 312-332-3776. Lots to get to. And I do have a question for Shay that I will get to in just a moment, but let's keep rolling through some of these. Nick's in Skokie. What's up, Nick?
Hello, Nick. Look alive, buddy.
So 30-28.
That'll be all for Nick. Nick and Skokie. Nice try. Bobby's in Wheeling.
A-plus wow. For Kevin Zipak back
Kempo.
There.
Well, you're just going to cut it off cold like that?
Hey, we got full phones, man. You guys gotta burn through them.
All right.
Listen, we'll do the show. That's all right. Thank you.
I need you to hold my hand a little bit here, Shay.
Bobby's in Wheeling. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I know you get a lot of callers, so I just want to chime in real quick. Quick question for you guys. What do you think now after this Fields trade? Clearly, we're going to draft a QB, probably Caleb Williams. What do you guys think is the most pressing need? And then I'll give my kind of response to that as to what I think.
I think it's a pretty easy one. I think it's an edge rusher.
Yep.
An edge rusher to go alongside Montez Sweat. I think you addressed... I initially would have said wide receiver, your second wide receiver, but then you made the trade for Keenan Allen. Now, if there's a receiver on the board there at 9, I'm still taking him because I don't think you can ever have enough, and who knows how long Keenan Allen is going to be a Bear as well. And I think what better player to learn from if you are a rookie receiver than Keenan Allen as well?
Probably depends what the plan is. If the plan is to extend Keenan Allen, I can't take a wide receiver at 9. If the plan is that you're going to let him go and take the comp pick, then I get it. But I think preference-wise, I'm still like... I think they're trading down from 9, and I think they're attracted to Jared Verse, and that makes me very happy. The edge rusher out of Florida State, if you're not familiar, Jared Verse, very good player. In fact, Tyler, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this. I believe if Florida State had made the playoff, Jared Verse would be talked about significantly more highly than he is. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. Appreciate it. Yeah, I look at edge rusher as probably the next biggest need on the team. And to be honest, after you have filled the hole at wide receiver as well, if you really like one of the left tackles, left tackle isn't one of the biggest needs I view on this team, but if you liked one of the left tackles enough, I'd be okay with them taking the left tackle as well.
Still think I wouldn't like it. Really would.
I think there's no harm in drafting your quarterback and your left tackle at the same time. Let them grow together on the same timeline.
I get it. I do like Braxton Jones, man.
I think he's good enough, but is he upgradable? For sure.
Sure. No, I'm not saying he isn't. But my point is, like, Braxton Jones at left tackle is serviceable, if not good. Vacancy at defensive end is not serviceable or good. Like,
I agree.
So in weight of priority to me, it's edge rusher.
Yes. No, edge rusher is my number one, no doubt about it. And there's plenty to go through as well. You're going to be in a prime spot to get either one that you want at 9.
Yeah.
Or if you think there's a way to move down in the draft and maybe accumulate some other picks along the way, because look at the cupboard right now. It's not very full of draft picks for the Chicago Bears this year.
Well, that's the thing, too, is like I can't get myself to talk myself into a world where they actually use the 9th pick. Poles, if there's one thing he's made clear he wants to build through the draft, I cannot live in a world where he enters this draft with 4 picks and only uses 4 picks.
And I will say, if there's one thing, I mean, this guy turns water into wine with, it's draft picks.
Yeah.
How many? I mean, his first draft, he went in with 5, and I think they ended up taking, 10 guys or something like that in his first NFL draft. Now, a lot of them were in the 7th round, and he didn't have a lot of stock to work with, but it's something that we've seen him do. He has been the master of trading for picks, whether it's up or down, and still getting a net out of it where he's pretty much got a full stock of draft picks when it's all said and done.
I just, when push comes to shove, he's not going to use 4 picks in this draft. It's just not going to happen. He's going to end up, I think, with probably 6. Maybe he finds a way to swing it into 7. there's no world to me where he uses four picks. That's just absurd. So I can't imagine that he's actually entertaining using the ninth pick. With the way things have played out, addressing Keenan Allen the way that you did, with the knowledge now as we see the mock drafts and more talk come out, Dallas Turner and Jared Verse don't seem likely to go in the top 10. I think this is where you start to read the tea leaves a little more. Like, it kind of unfolds in a way where we start with almost nothing, and it's pure speculation. Free agency happens, and you get a little bit clearer of a picture. And now we get to this week. Picture's pretty clear. And there's only so many ways you can maneuver if you know what your GM wants to do. I know Ryan Poles wants to build through the draft. He ain't using four picks. He's going to get more. And I think that's via number nine.
Anthony is in Orlando. What's up, Anthony?
Hello.
What's going on?
My apologies. You know, I really don't care what anybody's saying. I love what Poles is doing. He's trading picks. He's making everything happen. Okay, Justin Fields was not the guy. I am a Justin Fields fan, but he was not the guy. The numbers support that stat. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. So what I'm not understanding is how people are sitting up here bashing my man Poles because he's sitting up here trying to make the best thing. Oh, you could have did that for Fields, but no, he wasn't worth it. Caleb is worth it. So put all that gold in front of Caleb so he could come get it.
Yeah, that's and my whole point with this whole Justin Fields thing is I just – matter of fact, let's do this right now. I'm going to give you my player A, player B.
All right, let's hear it.
I think you can guess who one of the players is.
I'm guessing one will be Justin Fields.
All right, player A has started 42 games in the National Football League.
Okay.
He has a record of 18-24.
That's not Justin Fields.
He's completed 66% of his passes for 9,245 total yards. That's rushing and passing. 47 total touchdowns, 42 total turnovers. Gets sacked 6% of his dropbacks. Player B has a 10-28 record in the National Football League.
We know who that is.
8,894 total yards. 54 total touchdowns, so a little advantage there. 41 total turnovers, about the same. Gets sacked on 12.5% of his dropbacks.
I'm going to guess player A is Gardner Minshew.
Player A is not Gardner Minshew. Player A is Mac Jones.
All right.
Player A completes significantly higher rate of passes than Justin Fields. Mac Jones has more total yards, even with the rushing factored in as many games. Almost the same number of touchdowns, identical turnovers, gets sacked half as much. Mac Jones got traded for scraps. Nobody in New England's weeping. People in New England are excited because they think they might get Drake May or Jaden Daniels. People are happy about it.
And they're picking lower. They're not getting the guy that is dubbed generational by other people.
And the thing that I can't wrap my mind around is people in this town who are football fans, who I know watch football Sundays, start a day to end a day, have watched Mac Jones and trashed him. Because you know what? I'll say it. He sucks. He's professionally dead. He's going to back up a quarterback who was taken in the same draft as he was. He's done. People in this town have raked him over the coals. You're not even a fan of that team, but you call him garbage. Your quarterback is at best the same, if not worse. And we are weeping and trashing the general manager for trading him. I cannot wrap my head around it.
Can I say one more thing about the phrase that's really bothered me throughout all of this? Is the do right by Justin Fields.
It's ridiculous.
Why? Why did you have to do right by Justin Fields? Because shouldn't you, as the general manager, be doing right by the other 53 players on your roster who are going to be with you in 2024? Like, what did Justin Fields do to get this do right by Justin moniker? And listen, The offers that were on the table for Justin Fields at the end there, they may have all been comparable, and this is a moot point. But why did you have to, quote-unquote, do right by Justin Fields? What has he done to earn the right to, quote-unquote, do right by him? It's one thing if a couple years ago Seattle found themselves in the same situation that the Bears are in right now, where they were gifted the number one overall pick and had a chance to draft Trevor Lawrence and had to do right by Russell Wilson. You want to do right by Russell Wilson? Go ahead. That guy was a part of a Super Bowl winning team. He was the quarterback of a Super Bowl winner. If for some reason the Niners had the number one overall pick this year and you wanted to do right by Brock Purdy, who I know you don't love, but Brock Purdy has taken you to a Super Bowl and has helped take you to an NFC championship as well in consecutive years after being the last pick in the draft and stepping in to that situation. You want to do right by those players? Those guys were winners. You do right by winners. Justin Fields has not been a winner in this town. So if it were ever to come out that there were significantly better offers on the table that the Bears turned down to quote-unquote do right by Justin Fields, I'll be furious.
That's the time I will criticize Ryan Poles. In fact, with the reporting that we got from Ian Rappaport and some of the stuff that Courtney Cronin's put out, it does kind of feel like there were better offers on the table, and they did listen to Justin's representation. Oh, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. You know what you tell that guy? Too effing bad. That's the best offer that we got for you. You're going to Philadelphia. The rest is on you. This is your career. Figure it out. But we are going to take the best deal. Oh, but that'll hurt you with free agents in the future. Really? I just watched Pittsburgh bring in Russell Wilson and then stab Kenny Pickett with a shiv because he was angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked him off a bridge. They might as well have locked him in a safe and dropped him in the ocean. It doesn't matter. It's the NFL. This is not the Nice Feelings League.
Mm-hmm.
This is the league where DJ Moore tweets business is business 6 seconds after Justin Fields gets traded.
You want to do right by players? Do right by the guys that were helping your football team. You did right by Jalen Johnson. You rewarded him for his excellent play last season and gave him a contract. You did right by Cole Kmet. He was an ascending player in the league and you gave him money. You rewarded him for that, and that is doing right by players. A guy who hadn't accomplished anything with the team, and you're going to quote unquote do right by him simply because he plays the quarterback position? Like, let's be honest, that's why it is. He's a quarterback. And I never understood that. You should be doing right by the other 53 men in your locker room because those are the guys that you're hoping to build something with. And if you want, you can get superior assets to complement those guys. That's doing right by the Chicago Bears. Your allegiance is not to Justin Fields. Your allegiance is to the Chicago Bears organization.
Yeah, and somebody in the Twitch chat, what free agents do the Steelers bring in again? They just robbed their division rival of one of their best linebackers.
Patrick Queen, yeah.
Think Patrick Queen's weeping that they did Kenny Pickett dirty?
And you know what? It's the NFL, too. If you give someone a bunch of money, guess what? They're going to go there.
Is Darnell Mooney crying crocodile tears for Desmond Ridder? I don't think so. Darnell Mooney's happy. You got $30 million in guaranteed money. You know how you sign free agents? You pay them.
Yep, that's the only way. 312-332-3776. We may have struck a nerve on that one. We'll talk about take more of your Bears calls when we come back. And also, I've got my question I got for you as well about the Bears and how many wins you can expect. That's all coming up next. Tyler Rocky, Shay Norling, we're in for Black and Abdallah.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. Black and Abdallah are back. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. On FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000.
It's just a thought I've just had.
Oh, fresh thoughts from Shay Norling.
I wonder if the do right by Fields thing, he said it at the combine, so this is a difficult thing to totally spin. Could it be a little bit of a spin on the fact that you totally bungled what the market was going to be? That maybe the early offers, the early inquiries were better than what you got from Pittsburgh, but certainly not what you were hoping for. Not a second round pick, not a third round pick. Maybe the initial offers were fourth, fifth round picks. You felt like you could get better, so you didn't take those deals. And Justin didn't want to go there. And then at the end, when you have to trade him for something with a pulse.
It just became an episode of Pawn Stars.
Yeah, it was like, oh, well, we could make this sound good for everybody. Justin, why? We sent you to your preferred destination because we wanted to do the right thing. And you can get away with having totally effed up his market.
Potentially. Listen, there's a lot. At some point, the story is going to come out about how all this went down, right? Like, we saw the story came out a couple years ago about how the Trubisky era came to an end. We're going to one day find out the story about how the Fields era came to an end, and not necessarily how it came to an end. We knew it was coming to an end because...
Think we'll get a documentary?
That's actually one of my biggest sports pet peeves, is when people go, yo, the 30 for 30 on this is going to be wild. I can't wait till they make the 30 for 30 on this. 30 for 30 is essentially dead at this point, first of all. And second of all, not everything gets a 30 for 30, all right? In fact, a lot of things don't get a 30 for 30. A lot of things shouldn't be getting a 30 for 30 or any sort of documentary of that ilk either. But that's one of my biggest pet peeves.
I'll also say it, the sports documentaries, by and large, stink.
I think there's some that are good. But it depends. It depends.
I have to finish the Dynasty, the Patriots one.
I haven't started it yet.
I was a little tired of it. I got through the Aaron Hernandez episode, and I was just like, why did this happen? If Belichick's just going to sit there and be silent, who cares? But the people who have finished it are telling me that it operates as a total hit piece against Bill Belichick, and I'm into that.
I'll have to get on that. Apple TV, right?
Yeah.
All right. I have a question for you, all right? Caleb Williams is going to be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year this year. Now, whether or not he does it, he's got to go out and earn the award, but he will be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year this year. You look at the upcoming NFL draft class, in all likelihood, the top seven picks are all going to be offense, maybe even more. But I'll say at least the top seven picks, in all likelihood, are going to be offensive players. If Caleb Williams wins Rookie of the Year this year, how many wins will the Chicago Bears have?
10 or 11. Or 12.
I feel pretty good that if he wins Rookie of the Year in this year's class, that this team is winning at least 11 games.
And you know what? This is lofty.
On a fourth place schedule, too.
I'm really hesitant to pin this, and I don't want to say that it's my expectation. I don't think it's unreasonable if people want to expect Rookie of the Year.
No, he's going to be the favorite.
There is not another... A, he's the most talented player in the draft. B, he's the favorite in the betting market. Like, that's going to happen. C, there is not another rookie offensive player that will be walking into a situation where they will be immediately throwing to two proven 1,000-yard wide receivers, both who have made Pro Bowls, I believe, with a full running back room, retooled offensive line, two picks in the top 10 if they choose to use them both. I don't think they will. You might have three picks in the top 50. Like, it's hard for me to say another offensive rookie is going to step into a more favorable situation. If he is 60% of what they're saying he is, he will win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. And that's why I think if he does go out and play at a Rookie of the Year level, which is not outrageous to ask out of him, he's going to be the favorite. This team is in a situation to win 11-plus games.
I mean, you just think about, like, I was making the argument this morning. You won seven games with effectively QB28.
If this guy can play at a 16 to 18 level.
Think about the fact you won seven games with the single worst fourth quarter quarterback in football in a year where Zach Wilson started games. You won seven games. If this guy comes in and he's 10 to 15% better at quarterback than Justin Fields, which would make him, what, QB 20?
Mm-hmm.
You're winning 10 games. Yeah. This is the lowest baseline need.
Not only did you win seven games this year, but you had three monumental collapses. Now, you can also point it the other way and say, well, you also won a game with outscoring an offensive touchdown, but even if you tack on two more to this, and guess what? Like, Minnesota, probably not going to be very good this year.
It might be actively bad.
Like, they're going to look like Minnesota that we saw at the end of the year. The Minnesota that you did beat at the end of the year. That's more of what the Minnesota that we're probably going to see this year.
And I know that there's talk Minnesota could go up, get a quarterback, Jaden Daniels, that's the popular name. Maybe Minnesota trades to three. You know what it's going to cost them? Justin Jefferson. So tell me how they're going to be some monster threat. Like, I get it. The NFC North is playing out in a way that it's going to look quite a bit like the AFC North. Now, the Lions have had a little bit of an underwhelming free agency. Brad Holmes and company have made a declaration. We would like to continue to build through the draft. I think that's dangerous when you get to where they are. I think you should take the opportunities to get better. But, hey, Bears fans, look at that positively. There's a team in the division that's really good right now and doesn't exactly have the pedal to the floor to become a legit bona fide Super Bowl contender. The Packers made some nice moves. Xavier McKinney at safety, I love that move. But they haven't done a ton.
They've got young guys that are going to be going into second and third years, which I think is important.
Jordan Love popped. You're running back. But, like, I'm sorry, man. Moving off of Aaron Jones for Josh Jacobs, I just don't get it as a process.
To me, that's musical chairs.
To me, it's a downgrade.
It doesn't do anything. It doesn't move me either way.
I don't know that the Pack, like, you're going to be in a division where you've got, I think, three good teams in the Bears, the Lions, and the Packers. And I don't think that either the Lions or the Packers did enough.
Well, here's what you're going to have.
One with a bullet. Now, the Lions are because they earned the right. But I'm not going to sit here and say I don't think the Bears can get themselves into that conversation.
You're going to be walking among those three teams that you laid out there. You're going to be walking into a situation, though, where you do have the best defense of the three.
Yeah.
And so if the offense can be anywhere within striking range of the defense, and it's going to largely center on the type of season that Caleb Williams has, but if they are, you probably are going to have the best of those three. And it's going to be completely contingent on how Caleb Williams adapts and meshes at the NFL level.
And I don't think, like, if the Bears go and get Jared Verse, Tyler, he might be my favorite player in this draft. That includes Caleb Williams. I think Jared Verse is an absolute game wrecker. That's like, if you're asking me what I want to happen at 9, ideally pipe dream, you trade that sucker down, get yourself in Jared Verse territory, and you get that player. And you set him up as a bookend with Montez Sweat. I think it works right now because you put a game wrecker
Even if you take him at 9, I'd be fine with it. Yes.
You get a game wrecker opposite of a game wrecker. You put yourself in a situation where when the money is done for Montez Sweat, you roll it right over to Jared Verse and you do it again. Mm-hmm. That's the process. If they do that, I think you improve a defense that ended up top 10 last year. The Packers, if you want to say that they'll improve because they have talent, and our defensive coordinator Joe Barry was a functioning moron, I'm good with it, but are you going to go from, what, 25 to 8? Awfully hefty leap. Xavier McKinney helps, but I don't know if it helps that much. The Lions are a disaster, and especially in the secondary. Sure, they made an adjustment. They got the corner out of New Orleans. Name escapes me, but I don't think they made some huge move that's going to make them miles more impressive.
No.
Could they continue to hit on their draft picks at an astronomical rate? Sure, but like, I don't expect the Lions to go from the 30th defense to top 10. You're probably the only team in this division with a top 10 defense.
Yeah. I mean,
Minnesota, can they turn the trick again with Brian Flores?
And you swap out Danielle Hunter, you bring in Jonathan Grenard, so probably a little bit of a drop-off there in terms of production. But, yeah, like, you're probably going to have the best defense in this division. It just, now what remains to be seen is, where does your offense line up? You've got the pieces. Nobody has been parachuted in from the number one overall pick into a better situation than this one.
And that's where, like, people get mixed up. Oh, you're putting all this pressure on Caleb to be great. He's got to come in and he's got to lead us to the playoffs. Dude, he's got to be competent. Like, a competent quarterback in an offense that's set up the way this one is, if Keenan Allen can stay healthy, if Cole Kmet can stay healthy, DJ Moore, obviously, it's tailor-made.
And from every report that we've heard out of the combine, and it's not just the Bears, every team that met with Caleb Williams was blown away by the IQ on this guy.
Yeah.
Him talking through his game and all that stuff in a lot of those 15-minute interview processes. Everyone was blown away by the student of the game that he is, too.
All that talk about me, player, bad attitude, bad character, that has only come from fans and social media. Not a peep out of anybody who actually works in the league. And you can bet that if there were real concerns, teams would be leaking it.
Yeah. For sure. 312-332-3776. Joe is on the south side. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, you don't think that field or polls did the field thing just as to let teams know or players know, free agents, like, we care about you. Like, I'm worried about where Fields is going. We're a good team. We're worried about you. You know,
how about this, Joe? Okay, so last or two seasons ago, the Minnesota Vikings rated number one in terms of, I think it's called like player friendliness on the NFLPA report card.
Okay.
Your quarterback left.
Joe, I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, the process, you are probably...
I'm just thinking he's thinking deeper, longer term.
Joe, I'm going to take care of Fields.
Hang I'm going to take care of Fields. So other players know I'll take care of them.
Yeah.
But isn't taking care of players like... They signed Jalen Johnson to big money. He's one of their own. Yeah, they signed Cole Kmet to big money.
He's had a less than average contract. His guaranteed money is, what, 70-something? And
his guaranteed
years,
percentage 100. Is the number one among cornerbacks.
Over 21? Over Jair?
No, his guaranteed money. Not his average annual value, but his guaranteed percentage.
Yeah. And he deserves it.
Yeah. You're letting him get. And another thing, they're letting him get to free agency a little bit earlier, so he can try to re-up again.
So you don't think Poles is like being player friendly and letting the league know, like
Joe? I think you're right in where you believe his head is at.
I'm not saying be an ass to Fields on the way out. Don't let the door hit you. But I'm just saying you didn't need to roll a red carpet out.
But
for him.
I feel like other players see that and they cater to him. Well, not cater. Well, I'm not going to say cater to him. But
I'm not going to lie.
In a good situation, they put him in a good situation, and they didn't have to.
Joe, your head's in the right place, man. Like,
thanks
I do
for the
think
call, Joe.
That is the process that the Bears are going with, and they want to maintain their reputation as a player-friendly organization. I just don't buy that when you sit down with free agents or their representation in a discussion or a negotiation that anybody is going to say you traded Justin Fields someplace he didn't want to be, so I don't want to sign with you. If you put the money in front of somebody and you make it clear that you want them on your team and you think they can help your football team, 9 times out of 10 they're gonna sign.
And you know what, in a month the league's gonna forget that they quote unquote did right by Justin Fields.
Yeah, nobody's gonna care. Yeah. And I'm sorry, dude, like I get that everybody's out on Russell Wilson played really well last year, and I don't think he's ready to give up that job.
Yep.
I'm sorry, man. Like, it just is what it is.
More of your Bears calls when we come back. 312-332-3776. Tyler Aki, Shane Orling in for Black and Abdallah.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Shane Norling in for Black and Abdallah. If you missed the guys today, they were in for Greeny from 10 to noon. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app. Take it with you whenever you're on the go. You want to talk Bears with us? 312-332-3776. Let's do it. Chase on the south side. What's up, Chase?
Yo, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
I'm good.
How you guys doing?
What's up, Chase?
Listen, man, if I hear one more person say the Bears got fleeced by the Steelers, I'm going to lose it. Because we all been saying for the longest, the market for Fields, nobody wanted him. 32 teams all said they didn't value him. So what does that tell you? The Bears had to take whatever they can get. So I'm hearing all this talk about the Bears got fleeced and the Bears got robbed by the Steelers. No, they didn't, because the league, basically, the market was set that they were going to get no better than a fourth or a fifth round pick. They were lucky to get a sixth round pick, right, Shay? Can you just say that?
I don't know that I said they were lucky to get a sixth round pick. I just said I'd have taken anything with a pulse.
Warm body.
They could have sent me a gift certificate for a deli sandwich out of Pittsburgh. I would have taken it just to get them out of the building.
The bottom line is that they had to trade them because there was two things that was evident all season. Number one is that he's an inaccurate passer, and number two, he can't read defenses. It's been evident all season, even when he was coming out of Ohio State. That's been the biggest problem with him. So all this talk about the Bears got screwed and the Steelers robbed him, that there was no market for him, that the league told you. There were executives, AFC, NFC general managers, and coaches all said they did not look at him as a franchise quarterback. They all see him as a backup. So all this talk about people saying that, you know, the Bears should have kept him and moved forward with him, it was just a joke. That was never going to happen.
All right. Thanks for the call, Chase. Appreciate it. The league told you what they think of him. I mean, there's the Brad Biggs story that there was more intrigue in Desmond Ridder. Just the Kenny Pickett move fetching a better return. Howell fetching a better return.
On the note of the Kenny Pickett deal.
Jones a better return.
If Kenny Pickett never throws a hissy fit and basically forces the Steelers to move off of him because he can't stop whining that he's got to compete for the gig with Russell Wilson, do they even make a move for Justin Fields?
Probably not.
No, they get bonus years with Kenny.
To be honest, I'm actually a little surprised they even did make the move for Justin Fields regardless, because a lot of the conversation out of the combine was that Steelers really liked Ryan Tannehill and that Ryan Tannehill was going to be a quarterback that was brought in. And you've got the connection with Arthur Smith and all that. So it's interesting. Like that, I'm still kind of shocked that it was the Steelers that ended up making the move for Fields.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, after they got Russell Wilson, I just kind of thought it was done. But
yeah,
apparently Kenny Pickett, the vibe had become so toxic with him in relation to that organization that they just had to make a move.
Yep.
And honestly, if he never does that, if Pickett never throws his little fit, maybe Ryan Poles is still holding on to Justin Fields today and waiting for the right deal. And maybe that deal ends up being even worse than it was. So maybe we are lucky that we got a sixth out of it. Like, yeah. Just to get him out of the building, I'm sorry if you think it's disrespectful, I would have taken a Maytag.
Mm-hmm. Ty's in Sarasota. What's up, Ty?
What's up, guys? Real quick before I get started, you were talking about sports documentaries earlier, and I think what made the Bulls one so great, besides the fact that it came out when everybody had to stay at home during COVID, was the fact that they had the foresight to have cameras behind the scenes, for that final historic run. So, I don't know exactly what would be the next iteration of that, but obviously the Patriots one did not have that. So I think that's part of what made the Bulls one so great. But
I'm going to say some people aren't going to like. It's a little bit of sacrilege. I don't think The Last Dance is all that great.
I thought it was good.
You know, you're entitled to your opinion. I would disagree, but
I think the whole beauty of it was that COVID shut everything down. There was no sports, and The Last Dance was our excuse to have sports once a week. All 100%. I wanted to know, this is selfish, all I wanted to know was about Michael's gambling and, honestly, the death of his father. And I got answers on neither of them. It was just a redux of things we'd already known.
Yeah, but it was run by Jordan, so what were you expecting to get out of that?
Sure.
In the way of answers about his gambling addiction and the death of his father, really?
I'm not saying it was bad, it was entertaining. It just, when I watch a sports documentary, I want to learn something. I want it to be a little bit revelatory. There has to be a reason for me to invest my time. And most of them, Last Dance included, don't teach me anything new. They don't offer any new information. It's just nostalgia and reliving the good old days, which is fine. Yeah. It's entertaining. It's
but
just,
like, for someone like me, I didn't live through those days.
Totally.
That's true.
So
I didn't either. My mom did, and she loved it. She was like, I feel like I'm in the 90s again. So there were aspects of it that were cool. It worked for what it was. Just, I don't think that they achieved the revelatory nature a lot of the best documentaries do. The Johnny Manziel and the Florida Gators ones were horrible. Anyway, Ty, sorry. Get to your point.
No. I wanted to incite some conversation, so I appreciate that. And as somebody who was, I'm 33, so I got, I think, I vaguely remember the very last of the Bulls championship. But the way I view
Fields getting traded to Pittsburgh is more, you know, we've talked about like free agents. Like, I don't think it'll actually have that much of a difference with those individuals, but I think it's more about the current locker room and the way that they will view Caleb Williams, presumably if they draft him on the way in. Obviously, Pace wants Caleb. He wants him to be successful. Caleb wants to succeed. A huge aspect of that is the way that the current locker room, you know, kind of accepts him and removing any unnecessary friction. And if you can do that by, you know, quote unquote, doing right by Justin, I think that's kind of what his aim was probably for, because it apparently he could have gotten more for him. But if you can ultimately succeed at a higher level because you were able to, you know, get buy-in from players for a quarterback that you draft, I think that achieves what you're kind of setting out to and trading him. You know, what's the difference really between a fourth round pick and a third round pick besides, I mean, I don't know. I know nothing about really drafting anyway. So that's, you know, I don't think they're going to cash in on any big free agents. But that's where I think his head was at. And then real quick, one of you had made a comment earlier about toxicity on Twitter. And as a White Sox fan, I think 2022, this summer after they made the playoffs and were like kind of teetering around 500, was about as good as it got on Twitter for toxic fans. And good is maybe not the right way of saying that. But anyway, appreciate the time, guys. It's really cool to be able to listen to you on the app as a Floridian, and it reminds me a little bit of home. So good shit. Good stuff. I'll talk to you later.
That was almost a promo. That was so close to being a promo.
We can't send the tape.
That was almost a great promotion for the ESPN Chicago app. By the way, download it if you don't have it already.
Good endorsement of the program, though.
Look what we did.
Good bleep, boys. Well done.
Oh, man. All right. Rome is in Lake Mills. What's up, Rome?
Hello, fellas.
What's going on?
Hey, I love your show. Love your show. First and foremost. I want you to go on record. Who is the best quarterback in this draft?
Caleb Williams. Jinx.
Both of you.
Yes.
Okay. What if Caleb is... What if Caleb is Trevor Lawrence? Are you happy?
Yeah, I'll be pretty happy.
Trevor Lawrence, everybody's down on him, would have been the best passing season in Chicago Bears history.
He's also won a playoff game in comeback fashion.
Okay. I don't know. What if J.J. McCarthy goes to Minnesota with Justin Jefferson, with Addison, and has a better year? Would you feel satisfied with that?
I mean, what am I supposed to do? Look into the crystal ball?
Okay, Rome, before everything went down with Deshaun Watson, you think the Texans were kicking themselves that they took Deshaun instead of Mahomes?
No, not after that second year when he did 4,000 and like 30. Right. No.
So, okay, no. I'm not going to sit here and guarantee you that Justin Fields is going to be, that Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this class. I don't have that ability to look into the future like that. But if he is a good quarterback, that's all we can ask for as Bears fans. Be a great quarterback.
Rome, I can't tell you that he's guaranteed to be the best quarterback. I can tell you he's the best prospect. That's all we know right now. Is there a chance it doesn't work? Sure. But like, I had somebody ask me earlier today, what percent of number one picks have been so wildly successful? And like, that's fine.
It's less than 50-50.
Sure, Rome, but do you want me to count the number one picks who went to teams that had the worst record in football? Or can I count the number one pick that forced his way to the New York Giants and won two Super Bowls? Because that's more akin to the situation that you're in right now. You earned the number nine pick in the draft. You have the number one pick in the draft because somebody else sucked.
The reason I ask, fellas, you are the guys on ESPN. I'm the guy sitting outside his house, don't want to go see his wife, don't want to hear it from the kids.
My man.
You are the experts.
Don't tell me
I'm
that. Listen.
Who's the best quarterback?
Rome, I don't pretend to be an expert on the stuff. I'm a glorified fan sitting in front of a microphone. I watch a lot of football. I watch a lot of college football. The best prospect in this draft for me.
So what happens if Caleb is a garbage?
Then it is what it is.
I'll take the L.
You mean we going to talk about Kayla like we've been talking about Justin? If he's garbage.
Joe, if we get to the doorstep of year four for Caleb Williams and he's the 28th best quarterback in football over a three-year stretch, you can bet your ass we're going to have those conversations. Nobody wants to live in that world, man. I can't do radio in 2027 on March 18th, 2024. I can't.
Since ESPN is the home of betting, let's do a little friendly wager. If Caleb doesn't turn out to be that good, can I host the show for an hour?
I don't have the power to do that.
You're going to have to take that up with Danny Zetterman.
Here's what I'd be willing to do with you. Rome, here's what I'm willing to do. And we'll get your information on this.
Okay.
At the end of the season, 2024.
Don't give me 3 years. You got to give me next year.
At the end of this season.
Does Caleb win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
That's what you want to go with?
No, but, bro, you have the insight. You are ESPN.
Rome, you brought up J.J. McCarthy. Hang on. This is the offer I'm willing to make you. At the end of this season, if Caleb Williams has more yards than J.J. McCarthy, you're going to buy Tyler and I a sandwich.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Rome, we're going to get your info. We'll write it down. I swear I'm going to hold on to this. You brought up J.J. McCarthy. So I want to make this fair between you and me.
Yeah.
Caleb,
you're going to buy
Tyler and me lunch.
All right, bro, that's a bet. Bro, let's go through Minnesota's offense and let's go through Chicago. Because you just put Chicago number three behind Green Bay and Detroit. Okay. I'll take J.J. over D.J. and Keenan Allen all day just by itself. I'll take Minnesota's offensive line. I'll take Minnesota adding what's the boy from Green Bay? Swift. Yeah, over Swift.
Well, yeah, I will too. I don't like the Swift signing at all.
I'll take that bet. Take my info.
All right, we'll get you on hold, Rome. Appreciate it. That's Rome in Lake Mills. Thanks for lunch.
Yeah, that's
appreciate it.
J.J. McCarthy might not even start.
Exactly.
It's easy money.
They signed Sam Darnold. He might not even be a Viking.
Even if he goes to the Giants, I don't know if he's going to start.
Not be a Viking.
That was easy.
So, all right.
Rome, I'll talk to you in a year.
Sounds good. 312-332-3776. We'll try to squeeze in all your calls next and a little song of the night as well. Tyler Rocky, Shane Norling in for Black and Abdallah.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Black and Abdallah on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Sean Graney and Kevin Zipak for producing tonight's show. I've got my new worst person in the world.
Ooh.
Worst person in the world. Guy that walks into the bathroom whistling.
Yeah, Cap. I didn't know he was still here. I thought Cap would have been home for the night.
Is Cap a bathroom whistler?
Do, 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 do. Hey, how you doing, kid? Do, 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 do. Yeah, me and Mindy going out to dinner tonight. Unzips the pants. Do, 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 do. Then he hears you walk by the bathroom. You're going to wait for me, hoodie? Hoodie, you're going to wait for me in the hall? Do, 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 do. Yeah, he's the worst.
Is he really?
Yeah,
all right.
Big bathroom doer. I don't know that he's whistling a lot, but
in the basket now. So
there you go. Worst person in the world. Breaking news. Tyler Rocky says David Kaplan is the worst person in the world.
Until I see Cap do it. But the bathroom whistler, the guy who just comes waltzing in. Yeah, worst person in the world.
This guy just having a good day, Tyler. Why are you trying to rain on his parade?
Why in the bathroom? Why do I need
jurisdictions?
Yeah.
Someone in this building once stood next to me at the urinal. I was already midstream and walked up next to me, unzipped their pants, started their stream, hit me with a, hey, man, how you doing this morning?
That's an alpha move.
I don't need it at all.
You don't need it, but it's an alpha
move. Didn't enjoy it.
All right, time for the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial?
But there's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume, because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, Lick.
Tonight's song. Yeah, you know what it is. Easy pick tonight. In honor of Justin Fields being traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers, we are going black and yellow. Wiz Khalifa.
You know what it is.
Continue taking calls through this as well. All right, let's go. Kyle in Morton Grove. What's up, Kyle? You got to be quick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So my thing to you guys is, I supported Fields. I wanted him to do well. But I can't believe people are actually upset we traded him away. I mean, Caleb Williams, he would have been the first pick in the draft last year. He clearly has more potential than Fields. And if we get him, we reset his contract. We have control for him for the 5 years. Yeah, it sucks. We only got a sixth round out of Fields. And, you know, we did right by him, which you guys said earlier. Who's going to remember that? But we had to get him out of here. We could not have kept both him and Caleb in the locker room at the same time. And also, I think he's a glorified Tyrod Taylor at the end of the day. I mean, do we really need to wait year 4 to see if he can be better than
Tyrod Taylor like that, Kyle? Please. Tyrod Taylor is much better.
Excuse me, guys. Sorry. But I just, what are we going to wait till year 4 to see if he's going to be the guy or not? I mean, come on. This way we reset the clock. We have the cast. We got to get him on a rookie deal to win the Super Bowl. I mean, we don't have to, but it helps our chances. So I just can't believe people are that upset that we shipped them off. And I'm like, do we even watch the games, people?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Kyle. Appreciate it. Josh in Peoria. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
I'm just kind of piggybacking off, I think, Joe earlier. Basically, I don't think that's so much as the future of Poles, of like trying to get the team behind him or new free agent sign. But I think, you know, the connection with DJ Moore, Tevin Jenkins, getting those guys to believe in him. They're like, hey, I'm going to take care of you regardless. You know, Joe already said it pretty much. I'm just still listening. So that's all. I'll hang up now. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. Josh in Englewood. What's up, Josh?
Oh. Operator error on that one.
Oh. Oh,
gotta hit the
that's
right
on
button.
Me. That's on me. Sorry, Josh. That's on me. E1.
No worries, guys. Hey, I just wanted to say that I think that, you know, if Caleb Williams is a generational talent, as we all describe him to be in the first round, as the first round of the draft, I think that we can at least expect him to be Green Bay, right? I think that, you know, I think all these coaches talk about beating Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay. And I think that it's time that it's Patrick Mahomes is coming to town, then he can at least beat Green Bay.
Got to run, Josh. Thanks for the call, though.
God willing, he just beats Green Bay in game one, mm-hmm. and we can be done with this.
It's your song of the night. Black and yellow, Wiz Khalifa.
You know what it is. You already know what it is, man. If you don't, you should by now.
It's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume, because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, Lick.
We'll all be back at 7 a.m.
Chicago's home for sports. Bleck and Abdullah. ESPN Chicago.